I think you know the story of David and Goliath. A shepherd, probably not a little boy. In fact, most certainly not a little boy. A young man, well, I still think I'm a young man.
You are.
Well, thank you. Made me mad as I saw Brother Fennison for the first time in 15 years. He's gotten old. What an amazing story, isn't it? This shepherd, untried as a soldier, and he goes before Goliath, a giant. Not only that, a giant that his brothers, seasoned soldiers, that the greatest soldiers in all of Israel were afraid of. And David faced him. Well, David didn't fear. David said, I go in the name of the Lord. He had no fear of Goliath. He said, you're going to fall because it is God that's fighting and not I. Oh, that story inspires me.
Amen.
There's a story of a man named Daniel. Not known as a soldier, but as a thinker, as a theologian. The lover of God. And he said, I will not bow down and worship anyone but God. And when it was found out and proven, it was already known, it was a plot. But he wasn't afraid of their plot. Though it had not been written yet, he knew full well the very truth that there's no reason to be afraid of what man can do to you.
Yeah.
Oh, he served Almighty God, and he had no fear. I don't say that I know what was in his mind when they lowered him into the lion's den, but none of it's written of in the Word of God. None of it. Not a bit of fear. How could a man be so bold? How could a man have such courage? Well, it was the strength of the Lord. I'm amazed when I read that story. I think that they led him into the lion's den. And he trusted in the Lord. Three friends of his, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, king said, now if you'll just bow down when you hear the music play and worship this God which I have set up, you'll be delivered. They said no. Said, our Lord, our God, whom we serve, He's able to keep us out of the fiery furnace. And even if He doesn't, He'll deliver us from your hand. I'm not careful. I have no care, no fear to speak to you on this matter, O King. The Bible tells us we are to be careful. That is full of care, full of worry, fear, for nothing. Perfect love casteth out. Oh, I love these stories of men that have acted in God's cause, have served my holy and almighty God without any fear, with boldness and strength. But there's times in my life when I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I'm not going to repeat his message. There's certainly no reason for it, and there's nothing to add to it. But I appreciated Brother Collins' message on depression.
Amen.
And I tell you, it's clear. It's not because he believes it. It's just clear from the Word of God. Amen. Depression is the disease of selfishness. You get your eyes on you. Now, we all do it.
Yes.
It's wrong. I understand that. That means you don't want to stay there, but it happens to us all. There is another emotion. Fear. Fear is not a problem of looking upon yourself. Fear is caused by looking at your circumstances. Fear, depression happens when you get your mind and your eyes off of God and you put them on yourself too much. Fear happens when you get your eyes and your mind off of God and you get them on the circumstances around you. And when there's trouble, when there's difficulty, when you're in the fiery furnace, or when you're even threatened with the fiery furnace. You're looking at the flames and not the Lord. I look at the circumstances and I fear. That's wrong. I know that. Oh, I long to be like David and Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and others. And by His grace, there are times when I don't have to struggle so much with fear. But there's times when I look at the circumstances around me, and you see fear. There's another word for doubt. I'm afraid of what the circumstances can do to me. When I have my eyes on God, well, I have my eyes, as we've heard this morning and we've heard just this afternoon, on a God that has me on His mind. That died for me on the cross. I have my eyes on the lover of my soul. What He would want with me, I do not know. But it pleased Him to set His love upon my soul. I have my eyes on the holy, almighty, sovereign God of the universe. Who loves me perfectly. I have my eyes on the One that said, let there be light. He simply willed it. He simply spoke it. And there was light. And that One loves me.
Amen,
what have I to fear?
Amen.
When I have my eyes on God, I have my eyes on the One that made the blind to see, that He cast out demons. He brought the dead, as we heard in song, to life. He willed it so, and it was.
Amen.
I have no reason to fear.
Amen.
But when I get my eyes off of God, and I get them on the circumstances around me, I get afraid. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. I wish that I could say I feel a close kinship to David and Daniel, to Paul, to some of the heroes of the Bible. But I like to believe that Peter gets a bad rap. And I'll tell you what, if I resemble any of them, it would be Peter. Peter was also a man of faith. John knew that God loved him so much that when he referred to himself in the gospel that the Lord had him to write, he said, the One, the disciple that Jesus loved. Oh, he knew of that love. And when he heard that the Lord was not in the grave, that He had risen from the dead, he ran, but Peter outran him. Peter had a love for the Lord, just as John And he was amazed that the Lord had risen. Peter, in Matthew 14, we'll begin in verse 23. Peter was in the boat with the disciples. Verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up, that is the Lord, into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. The circumstances were difficult. Now, I know you've been there. Lost or saved, you've been there. You know that there are times in life when the circumstances are difficult, when you're in the midst of a storm. That's a scary place to be. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. Some kind of a demon or a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But Jesus, straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it's I. Be not afraid. Have no fear. Get your eyes on me.
Amen.
Have no fear. Be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, would a man who had no faith think for a moment that he could walk on the water at the Lord's will? All the Lord had to do was say, bid me come, and I know I can come. I can walk on the water. This is a man that fully trusted. If a man can fully trust. With a man who trusted as much as, in that moment, as much as any human soul has ever trusted in the power of Christ. If you bid me come, I can come on the water and walk to you. Because he had his eyes on Jesus. Because he had his mind on the power of God. So what did Jesus say? And he said, come. And this was no idle boast of Peter's. He said, I can't walk on the water, but if you bid me to come, I will come unto you. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, in the midst of the storm, he did that which he could not do because the Lord bid him do it. He went. And he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But do you see what happened to him? He saw the wind boisterous, and he was afraid. He got his eyes off of the Lord, and got them onto the circumstances. He got his eyes off of the sovereign God. And it put them on the circumstances around him. And he was afraid. What happened? He began to sink. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would, please. Keep your finger there. And go to Job chapter 23. You see, if we get our eyes off of God and we put our eyes on the circumstances, we start thinking about the difficulties, we start thinking about the storm, we start thinking about the terrors around us, we start thinking about those that hate us, we start thinking about the possibilities of failure, the possibilities of sorrow, the possibilities of pain and suffering and misery and lack. We begin to sink. That's the result of doubt. And you've been there, haven't you? Well, Lord, I mean, this is frightening. And this is going to hurt. And you know what could happen? This could happen. Or that could happen. Or the other, even worse, could happen. And I want to tell you something. It could. It could. And you begin to sink into fear. You ever been like that where you just can't pray? I mean, you want to pray. You're on your knees. You're trying to pray. You say, Lord, forgive me. And Lord, I trust you. But you can't get up off your knees, because as soon as you start getting up, then you start to worry again about what's going to happen. And you try to formulate a plan, but that won't work. And it's just going to be worse. And now you're scared to death. And you say, oh, I was praying, wasn't I? Lord. You begin to sink into fear. Into what ifs? And what might? When we get our eyes off of God, that's what happens. And it's not that we forget God. Because you can't forget God if you're saved. You know He's there. But you're not looking at Him. You ever ask the Lord for His will? And all the time, there's in the back of your mind, it's racing through your mind what you're going to do? I think we're probably doing this wrong, don't you? Do you ever tell the Lord how you trust Him? And the back of your mind, you're scared to death about this and this and this and this. And how terrible it's going to be when that happens. Oh, I know He's there. But I can't find Him. Give a struggle in prayer and say, Lord, I know You're here. But where are You? If ever a man knew what that was like, it would be Job. Job chapter 23. In verse 3, he says, oh, that I knew where I might find Him. Now, he knew He was there. He just couldn't find Him. He was scared. It was bad. And it was. I recently was talking to someone and they said, well, Pastor, that certainly couldn't happen to me, could it? I said, it could.
Yeah.
I mean, what am I going to do, lie? It could. But here's the thing. If it does, God brought it and He has it under control. And I think Romans 8:28 will still be in the Bible if that does happen to you. I mean, I don't want to try to make people feel better. I want them to know where to go to feel right. To the Lord. I don't think that's going to happen. I know for a fact that 99% of the things we worry about never happen. But I can't promise you it won't. When Brother Steve was told that there was a lump in his on his tongue, and I didn't want to think it was cancer, so I said, I don't think it's cancer. And we prayed that it wouldn't be. But I also prayed, if it is, Lord, You know what You're doing. Glorify Yourself.
Amen.
Give grace and mercy to us. And it was. But did God fail? God's not failing us in the storm. God brought the storm.
Amen.
He brought it.
I mean, here's the problem. We're looking right at the forest and we can't see the trees. You ever heard that statement? We're looking at the circumstances, and what we don't understand is we see God right in front of us. He's the God of the circumstances. But all I see is what I'm afraid of. Because I have my mind off of God. And I'm afraid. Oh, that I knew where I might find Him, that I might come even to His seat. I would order my cause before Him and fill my mouth with arguments. Oh Lord, if I could just find You, if I just knew where You were, if I could just get hold of You. Lord, I'd pray and I'd ask You to deliver me, and I know You would because You love me. I can't find You. I would know the words which He would answer me. I'd hear that sweet answer from the Lord. If I could just find Him. But I'm so afraid. And understand what He would say unto me. Will He plead against me with His great power? No. But He would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with Him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but it's not there. Or at least I don't see Him there. I don't find Him there. And backward, but I cannot perceive Him. I can't find Him. On the left hand where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand, that I cannot see Him. But He knoweth the way that I take. Oh, it's a scary place to be when you start looking around you. You know what they say about people afraid of heights. They might have to climb a ladder. Just don't look down. My problem is, first thing you tell me, don't look down. Why? Why not? Is it, what's wrong? What is it that I should be afraid of? Because if there's nothing, I'll create a boogaboo. There's something to be scared of, and if not, I'll find something to be scared of. Because it's a scary world. But could that be cancer? I don't know. It could be. But whatever that bump might be, it doesn't make any difference. I can't tell you how many times I have... Because, you know, a preacher has to be a doctor and everything in the world. You know, people will call me up and they're sure they're having a heart attack. Or their appendix has burst, and they got gas. And it's, you know, I mean, it seems funny. It's funny afterwards, but you ever been there? I've been there. I've had gas so bad right here, I said, this is it, I'm checking out. It's all over. Get the bucket, because I'm going to kick it. And I was scared. That was over for me. And it was, you know, I was scared. I was scared to death. I mean, you know, I'm glad I know what side the appendix is on. Don't you know how, you know how it is? You know, you wonder the first thing is, and if it's your child, is that appendicitis? We had a beautiful, sweet baby born into the church last week, and I know they're not a member of the church. I don't mean that. I just mean they're mine. That sweet little baby is, now, I'm not related to it except in the Lord, but both the father and the mother are members of the church, and I got a baby, and it's cuter than somebody else's too. And that's a sweet baby, but you know, the mother was a first-time parents, and bless her heart, you know, They didn't have any idea. Babies, they just get born yellow sometimes. You know how that is. I mean, and I'm not that old. So I can't say in the old days, but when I had, we had our first child, when I brought that baby girl home, she was yellow as could be, looked like a pumpkin. We just put her in the sun. That's what the doctor, we didn't know any better. That's what the doctor said to do, put her in the sun. I said, all right, roll her over, you know, like a pancake, flip her every once in a while so she gets on both sides. That's what we did, she was fine. Jaundice is no big deal. They had this poor first-time mother, and she's an intelligent woman, but you know how it is when you have your first child. You just, you know, if they hiccup wrong, you're scared to death. And the doctor's saying, oh, it's jaundice and bilirubin count and too high, and spend the night in the hospital with it another night, and it might be mentally retarded if it keeps going on. And she's having a fit, and I'm thinking to myself, put it in the sun. You know, it really wasn't a big deal. But in her mind, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
That baby's life was threatened. And you know how, what a blessing doctors are. The doctor got her to think that. She was scared to death. Well, it was the middle of the night. And I got the call. And I went down there and treated it like it was a life-threatening event. Why? I knew it wasn't a life-threatening event. But that mother was scared.
Yes.
And what am I going to do? You know what? I went down there and prayed with that mother. I rubbed that little baby's foot. I got quiet and I prayed. What happened, I did not do. The Lord did. The Lord took her mind and her eyes off of bilirubin counts and yellow babies and brought that sweet, precious mother's mind and heart to Him and said, I have this under control.
Amen. Yeah.
She went and got a sandwich and I went home. It was all right.
Amen.
But you know what? It might not be all right. It might not. So sometimes babies get sick and die. And it doesn't make any difference what an outsider thinks about your storm. Your storm is real. It doesn't make any difference. I can create the stupidest things to be afraid of. But I'm afraid. And sometimes, I find even sometimes with some of the bigger things, because I need it so badly, the Lord just gives amazing grace.
Yeah.
But sometimes there's a reason to be afraid. From a human perspective, if you're looking at the circumstances. But we have to get our eyes off the circumstances.
Yeah.
Second Timothy, if you've got your finger there, you probably didn't. Second Timothy chapter 2. Because we become spiritually disoriented, it really doesn't make any difference what the reality is. If we're afraid, we're doubting God. And that's not right. Real storm, imagined storm, it doesn't make any difference. And then you know what I get afraid of? See, I get afraid of being afraid. I do. I think, well, now I've doubted God. He's mad at me. So who am I going to count on now? I mean, if I'd have just hung with God and said, oh yeah, the Lord's got this under control and it's all right, and I could stand with David, I could stand with Daniel, I could stand with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I'm telling you, the Lord will send an angel and shut the lion's mouth. The Lord will stand with me in the fire. The Lord will cause that giant to fall. But my problem is I get afraid. Now I've blown it. I've been unfaithful. I've doubted my God.
Yeah.
What shall I do now? Who shall help me now? And I thank God that I'm always on His mind, brother. I mean, it's all right to sin. Of course, it's not all right to sin. And I tell you what, I cause all my own misery. Joy and happiness and peace is a birthright of a Christian, but we get scared or we get depressed and we rob ourselves of those things. But I thank my God that He's there. He's there. You know, I don't know if I could have been a help to Job. But I read that and it helps me. Job, He's right there when you go forward. And He's right there when you go back. He's there on the left side. He was there on the right side. But the problem was, you're trying to look, get up. When, you know, the storm's in the way. I can't see God. That's not it at all. He's in the storm. He's in the fire. God is sovereign. And if God brings something into your life, now, you sin, you cause your own trouble, then God will even work that out for your good, for your repentance and your correction and your betterment so that you won't cause your own misery anymore. But when circumstances come into your life, God is the God even of circumstances. Cancer could not have developed. That baby could not have gotten sick. I'm going to tell you something else. The devil couldn't have gotten the garden. But for the plan of God. Sin is always my fault and my responsibility, and I cause my own misery and I reap what I sow. But you know what God does? He even aborts the crop. Because I never get what I deserve. Aren't you glad for that? I know I taste of the sting of the stupidity, the trouble I've caused myself. But when I get my eyes back on God, people say, look up. I don't have to look up to find God, for He is before me, He is behind me, He's to my left and to my right. He's the God of my circumstance. And He loves me. And even when I doubt Him, even when I'm sure I've blown it, even when I think, where can I go now? Because I've burnt my bridge. You can't burn the bridge. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. If we believe not, I mean, if we don't believe God, that's not saying I don't believe that God died on the cross to pay for my sins. It's not talking about faith in the finished work of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, being sufficient payment for my sin. It's when I don't believe God. I doubt His promises to me. That's a sin. There's no doubt about it. I've sinned. I have sinned. And I do need to repent of that. But you know what? Even when I don't believe. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. He isn't gracious to me because of me. In the first place. So if I mess this whole faithful to me because He said He would be. And He cannot deny Himself. He's faithful to me because He looks upon me and He sees the blood of Christ. He's faithful to me because He cannot deny Himself. He's there. Just like Job said, He knows the way I'm going. And back in Matthew 14, we'll see how this affected Peter. I know Peter was wrong. I understand that. You don't, you know, Peter, everybody tells me how Peter was this and Peter was that. Peter was a child of God, loved the Lord. I know we don't ever think that we make these kind of mistakes, but we do. But when, verse 30 of chapter 14, but when he saw the wind boisterous, when he looked at the circumstances and feared them instead of trusting God, he got his mind and his eyes off of God and who God is and how God is faithful and how much God loves His children. And he got his eyes on the frightening circumstances, on the storm, and beginning to sink. But you know, Peter never went under. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." See, he knew where to go. He was afraid and began to sink, but he said, "Lord, save me." You ever been there? Sometimes I'm tired of telling the Lord everything He already knows. I know we're supposed to trust Him for everything. And yes, I do ask Him for this and I ask Him for that. But I've asked Him. All I can say is, "Lord God, help me." He always does.
Yes.
He didn't sink. I know it's frightening. And I get scared. And it's wrong. But you can always call out to God, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And there was no more storm. Do you read that in here? No. I'm not telling you that Jesus like that will take the circumstances you don't like away. I can't promise you that. I would if I could, but the television evangelists are lying to you. I cannot tell you that. That baby might die. I don't want it to die, and oh Lord, I pray that it won't die. And I'm not speaking of that baby in there because that baby's all right. And I thank God that Mark Clark Jr.'s baby's doing so much better. But I'm telling you, whatever it is, I can't tell you it won't happen. But immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand, and He wasn't sinking anymore. See, it's not that God will take away the circumstances you don't like. It's not that God will always calm your storm. But He'll calm you in the storm if necessary. What did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say? Our God can keep us out of that fire. But even if we go in, He'll deliver us out of your hand, okay? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to go in because Jesus was in the fire.
Amen.
He said, "Lord, save me." And the Lord reached out His hands and comforted him. And he was no longer sinking. But the storm was still raging. Immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" He rebuked him, but he rebuked him in love. I know I'm wrong. You know, I'm like that man who called out to his Lord and said, "Lord, I believe. Oh, help them, I believe."